Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. Thank you. Huh, what a good God you are. Faithful, consistent, kind, always there. Ah, with your vested interests, with your passion and your tangible presence, we thank you. And Lord, as we get into your word, we ask today, indeed, that every mind will go better with your word, with a better understanding of your word, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Right, we've been talking about filled with the Spirit, all right? And I've got some stuff that I want to just mention first to us. First of all today, that the things of the Spirit, they are not mysterious. So, because some folks, when they hear about Spirit or the Holy Spirit, we think it's something mysterious, something that cannot be understood, something that needs to be complex, or it's just for some, you know, members or for some, you know, high-class believers. Well, there's nothing like high-class believers anyway, all right? But it's not so, all right? The things of the Spirit, particularly, they are not mysterious in the sense that they cannot be understood. They can be learned. They can be taught. They can be explained. The things of the Spirit can be learned, can be taught, can be explained. All right? And I want us to know that it's not spooky. It's not, you know, mysterious that, No, not necessarily. The things of the Spirit, we can know it. All right? It may be abstract, but you can know it. All right? In fact, it can be tangible as well because we can see it, we can feel it. Hallelujah. Let me give you a quick example of what I mean. How many of us remember the story of Eli, Prophet Eli, and Samuel in the Bible? All right? God, look at this. God will want to tell something, or God wants to tell something to Samuel. And Samuel did not understand because God is a spirit. All right? Look at that. All right? The first time you say, I'll tell us this. All right. The first time he said, Master, have you called me? The second time, no, now pay attention. I want us to get this quickly. It means that voice sounded like the voice of his master. Huh? So we can quickly deduce. It's not enough to deduce. You make one or two points the way I like to do it. So if God will talk to you, it will look like Ayo. And we may not be doing well if we take it for granted. It's just Eli. But that was not Eli. It may not necessarily be Ayo. Let's put it generally. It will use familiar voices. Voices, tones, people, things that you are used to. It won't come in a strange way. But that's not even the point today. The point is that Eli will now tell him. Can we quickly agree that Eli will now teach him how to respond to the things of the Spirit? All right? Because Eli knew how to respond to the things of the Spirit. All right? And he said, I know. All right? The next time you hear that voice, say this, do this, like we are trying to do now with the things of the Spirit. Or we've been filled with the Spirit. So the things of the Spirit can be learned, can be taught. We can understand it. All right? So responding to God can be understood, can be learned, can be taught. Now, based on the study that we have done so far, you know, Ananias now, that certain disciple called Ananias in Acts chapter 9 that met Paul, all right? You know, God did not send him to Paul for him to receive, quote unquote, decomine, accept the Spirit. You know, he already accepted the Spirit, all right? Because from our study, we've seen that the moment you believed in Jesus, all right, you confess Jesus as Lord, the Spirit of God tabernacles with you. All right, so what Ananias came to do is to help him receive this to Lambano to take of it. All right, so it means that it will be that brother Ananias that will help him, all right, to better understand the things of the Spirit. All right, because it wasn't Ananias that brought Holy Spirit. He had an encounter already. He said, Lord, what will you have me do? He called Jesus Lord already. The moment you call Jesus Lord, Bible, what we've read is that Holy Spirit comes to you, lives in you, all right, and it doesn't leave. It may be there dormant, all right? But it will now take people, all right, to help lambano, to help take of the Spirit of God. Also, I'm just giving us examples that we can see. Also, we've read about Philip in Acts chapter 8, all right? That he had gone to Samaria to preach the gospel to them. They have received the word, in that they've believed the word. But then they will later send for the apostles from Jerusalem to come around, all right? And those ones will now pray for them and will help them take of it, all right? The point I'm trying to pass across is that the things of the Spirit in our life that we've said, all of us, we have it, all right? Everybody, all right, has got the Spirit. Let's put that better. Every believer has got the Spirit of God. Has got the Spirit of God in them. Hallelujah. All right. So it's very important for us to, again, still start from that point today. Therefore, 1 Corinthians, let's take our first scripture today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, just still trying to reinforce that point, 11:20. Praise God. Praise God. But the point I want to pass across today, they are very straightforward, so we should be on time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Then we're going to read verse 3 later on, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Thank you. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, all right? These gifts, it's in italics, okay? So we can say concerning spirituals. Concerning the things of the Spirit. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant. All right? So, in our study of being filled with the Spirit of God, we don't want ourselves to be ignorant of that. Verse 3. Let's look at what it says in verse 3. It doesn't want anyone to be ignorant. Any member of the believer's household church, all right, shouldn't be ignorant of how the Spirit deals with us, how the Spirit talks to us. We should all be aware. We should flow well. We should function well. All right? I don't want to, you know, let me say this way, without, you know, any, you know, I don't want to have members that are always begging for prayer. Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. No. The Spirit of God inside of me is the same Spirit inside of you. All right? You know, Jesus was disappointed when those guys couldn't calm the sea. He said, for how long will I be with you? He expected them to be able to do it. When he spoke to the fig tree, and, you know, the fig tree went away, he says, oh, you of little faith, you know, you should believe. Hallelujah. All right? We know that those things, they don't just jump on us. We need to be taught. We need to see examples in the scripture. The reason we have adopted this approach where we want to understand the things of God by ourselves. All right, and we teach ourselves in God's word. Look at it. So therefore, Paul, all right, we now say, therefore, don't forget, you know, I skipped verse 2 because, you know, it's a digression. So it says, concerning the things of the Spirit, verse 1, I don't want you to be ignorant. Therefore, verse 3, all right, I make known to you, KJV says, I give you to understand, meaning I am now teaching you, all right, this again buttresses the point we've said, that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. If you are speaking by the Spirit of God, you don't call Jesus accursed. Look at this again. Look at this point that we've already established. But then let's see it again. It says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. So if we have at any point in time confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord, it is by the Spirit. It is the working. It is the effective working of the Spirit of God, right? And we've explained that the moment the Spirit of God did that in us, all right, it doesn't leave. It doesn't. Think about it. Why would the Holy Spirit vacate for a devil? It may be there dormant because we need to take of it. We need to take of that Spirit. We need to bring him up, and that's the essence of this study today. Right, so therefore, we've been talking to ourselves about being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Please, let's read it. So we've been talking about to ourselves about being filled with the Spirit. We've looked at the context of it, clarify what it means to be indwelled by the Spirit. Oh, I tell you always spy on my notes. Praise God. Wonderful. But I'm grateful for that. Thank you. All right, because we're going to touch on some of the things that I was going to talk that I will talk about again today. All right, so we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, that every believer, all right, we've got the Spirit of God, and that we should be filled with that Spirit. What does that mean? Is it like a balloon that I blow in, or being filled with what? Hopefully, we'll be able to get there today and see what we can learn from there. Just one more story, one more reference that I want us to see. Galatians. So we're going to come back to this point, sorry. We're going to come back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But I want us to read, we're going to come back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. I want us to read Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Galatians 3:3. Look at it. Let's read this properly. Okay? I don't like reading that part to people. Okay? But it's part of it. Because the behavior. Now, see why Paul mentioned that. All right? Are you so foolish? You know, I reduced my voice. All right? Now, look at this last part. He says, haven't begun in the spirit. All right? KJV says, haven't begun from or in the spirit. Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Now, the point I want to bring out here is that, where did they start from? Where did the believers, where did we start from? All right? So, we are not coming to meet the spirit. That is our starting point. All right? The spirit of God is our starting point, is our life. All right? I wrote it here. The Christian life starts from the spirit. All right? The spirit of God indwells the believer, and the spirit of God is the source of our life. Please, can we say together, the spirit of God is the source of my life. My life is not ordinary. I live a supernatural life. I live a spirit-filled life in the name of Jesus. Very important, all right? So when he said, look at it. He was telling them that, hey, but you started from the spirit. That was where you started from. You began from the spirit, all right? So you can't make it perfect with the flesh. One more reference as we move on today. John chapter 3, verse 34. John chapter 3, verse 34. All right, we're talking about the spirit of God that we have before we, talk more about, okay, what else can I do? Or what more about the spirit? John chapter 3, verse 34. Look at it again. All right, talking about the spirit. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. Now look at it again. Look at it. All right, I know KJV says unto him. But if you have a good Bible, okay, you will see that unto him is in italics. So it was added. All right. So in the original, the John that wrote it himself didn't add unto him. All right. So the New King James did well in removing it. You get the point. But if you see KJV, KJV will put it. But it's in italics. They did well to put it in italics. But then that's the point. So the last bit there is, for God does not give the spirit by measure. What that means is that I wouldn't say, Vanessa, well, because just take this small one. No. All right, or take this big one, then you take this. He gave the fullness of the Spirit of God. All right, yeah, he gave to Jesus, no doubt, but then it's to everyone that has believed. In God giving, Bible says he will pour out his Spirit upon every believer. All right, upon our sons and our daughters. It says that outpouring, actually, if you look at the context of it, is a, you know, the way you pour. All right, you've got a bowl and you pour everything. Nothing is left from where it came from. Hallelujah. All right, so it's a full. So we're going to read some stuff today, all right, that God has given the full dosage, the full amount, the full measure of his spirit to you and I. It's not in measure. It's not in, it's in quantity. Hallelujah. All right. It is all that God can give. He came to give us life, and that life is abundant. It's full. It's complete. The Bible says we are complete in him. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So it's not the case that we don't have the spirit. It's not the case that we have it. Maybe the spirit that I have is different from Toulouse. All right. No. We all have that spirit of God in equal measure. Now, who has more oxygen? We don't. All right, you just have it. Hallelujah. All right, it's not the case that, you know, we just have oxygen. All right, may we never pay for oxygen in the name of Jesus Christ. We will never pay for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, all right, so God did that. But then what we do, we're getting to the point today, all right, what we do with the life that we now have, you know, is with us.
With that same oxygen, some folks, they are just, well, all they do is just, I don't know. But some folks, with the life, with the oxygen, with everything God has given, with all the air and everything, all right, people are doing all sorts. The difference that we're talking about is what we are doing with it. The difference is how we've exerted, how we've taken from that spirit, from that oxygen, from that life that we have in Christ Jesus. And that's the essence of this, all right? We are getting to the core of it now. We have taken the last couple of weeks to clarify in case there's any doubt that maybe it's for me, it's not for me, all right? To say that we are indwelled by the Spirit of God. And now that, we now need to take of that spirit. Receive of that spirit. Hallelujah. All right. So it's up to us. So what we do, all right, with the Spirit of God, it depends on us. Amen. And the essence of this study, of this message today, is to propel us to do more with the Spirit of God that we have. Amen. I wrote something there quickly that I want to read. I say, you determine whether you are filled with the Spirit or not. I determine it. You determine it, all right? Whether I'm endured by the Spirit, God did that. Whether I have oxygen in the atmosphere or not, God did that, all right? But what I do with the Spirit of God that I have, whether I'm filled with it, and that word "fill," we're going to clarify today what it means, all right? Or maybe next week, all right? It's dependent on me. Hallelujah. All right. So at times I talk to some of my friends that, why are you not speaking in tongues? Or let's be. So where I'm waiting. There's nothing more to wait for. It's like I'm waiting to breathe. No, you breathe. You start. All right. Because that is. There's nothing more to receive. God gave everything. And we're going to reread some stuff today. Amen. All right. So let's get deeper. I determine whether or not. Whether I'm filled with the Spirit or not. The filling, we're going to touch on that if time permits again today. Praise God. I want us to, again, talk about some points that when you are filled, the reason I said he must have, when you are filled with the Spirit, it is obvious. We will know. All right? Now, whether you are indwelled by the Spirit of God, we don't know. All right? Because it's Jesus, it's you believing, all right? And based, our evidence is in God's word, all right? But whether you are filled with the Spirit of God, we will know, all right? It has evidences, and I want us to read some. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Being filled with the Spirit has evidences. Being born of the Spirit may not be obvious, all right, may not be obvious, no doubt, and it's obviously so, okay? But if you are filled with the Spirit, we will know. Now, look at this. Now, notice it was not Peter that wrote this. The book of Acts was written by someone else, all right? Now, for them to have that account, they must have seen something, all right? See, it says, then Peter filled with the Spirit and said. Now, notice when you are filled with the Spirit, look at what happened, they said. There's something that is always accomplishing, being filled with the Spirit. We're going to mark it now, not all, just some few ones. All right, so look at this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, all right, we can quickly begin to deduce, but that it's not yet time, that when you are filled with the Spirit, it will influence the things you say. All right, just like a drunk man, you will know, all right, apart from the booze that is, you know, but you will know, all right, in the way he coordinates himself, in the way he's walking and all. But let's not get there yet, all right? But Peter being filled, so it is obvious that, because you need to know Peter, he was a fisherman. In this context, he was talking to elders of Israel, all right? Elders, men that were educated. It was in this light, in this chapter, they said that, we've observed these men, they were unlearned, or they are unlearned, they've not even gone to school. How come, all right? So we know whatever they are saying must have been influenced. Oh, now we're talking about the word, what it means to be filled. All right? They must have been influenced by the Spirit. All right? It must have been just like someone that is under an influence, saying something. But what we are getting to know is that influence is our responsibility. So we've said it many times, that it's a function of our will. Alright, we're just saying it again in a different way. That being filled with the Spirit of God is our responsibility. Let's use some more. So we've seen Peter being filled with the Spirit. How did they know? They saw something. The things that he said. The way he conducted himself. Alright, maybe he exuded boldness, courage in the face of adversity and opposition. He was able to push back. If you listen to what he said, alright, it must have come from a man that is intoxicated by the Spirit of God. All right, the elders met him that they should not preach preach in the name of Jesus again. They told the elders, whoa, Peter that ran away some 50 days ago or thereabout, all right, say whether we should serve God or obey you, you judge. That's like a snide. Hallelujah. All right, what a courage. What an attitude. All right, because he was filled by the Spirit of God. Let's see some more. All right, Acts chapter 6 verse 5. This is about, you know, another man called Simon. All right? Simon, look at it. Now, pay attention. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. All right? The story before now, the apostles, this issue about bread and people not having food and all of those. All right? So they said, we don't want to get distracted. We want to pay attention to the word and to prayers. All right? So now, in verse 5 now, they will now say, and this saying pleased the multitude, right? And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. How did they know? Is it written on their head that I'm full of the Spirit? No. It must have been some things they were doing amongst the multitude. You will notice all of this multitude, all right, they will be in, because they are believers. Let's assume they are believers, all right, because it's difficult to assume that the multitude are believers, because some of them will still lie. Some of them will still, you know, and they, you know, anyway, let's leave that, all right. But then, you see, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. All right. So again, it is, we can see it. We can know it. Let's see some more. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. And this time, it was about Barnabas. Barnabas, how did they know? All right. Acts 11, 24. Thank you. He said, for he was a good man. Talking about Barnabas. All right. Because the context there is, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Spirit. How did they know? Don't forget, someone was saying this about him. All right? Because we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. We are getting to see now a man that is full of the Spirit of God. All right? And, and of faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just one more before we proceed quickly. Acts chapter 13, verse 9. Acts 13, verse 9. Of course, we have a lot. We've seen, we have people even in the Old Testament that they were filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Even in the New Testament, also filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, what happened to him again? Filled with the Spirit. All right? Looked intently at him. We are not going to read that. But in verse 10, he will now say something. Hallelujah. All right. So therefore, let's move on quickly. All right. That people that are filled with the Spirit among us, we will know. And it's not difficult. That's where I am rushing to. And because I want us to get to that point. How? But we are not yet there. Praise God. So we have a responsibility and a participation. All right. We have in being filled with the Spirit. All right, it is obvious, we can know it, all right, we will know. Now, in knowing it, notice we are not judging people that, he's not filled with the Spirit, no. But we're just saying that we can know it. It is obvious. It is, we can know, all right, and we're going to get to that point today. So we have a responsibility and a participation. Please help me preach to someone, just one person beside you. Tell him or her, when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, you have a responsibility and a participation. Please let me find another one. When it comes to being filled with the Spirit, You have a responsibility and a participation.
Please don't exclude yourself. Don't say, oh no, you know, it's not. No, no, no. We
because we've seen now, it's a function of our will. Responsibility, participation is a function of our will. We're going to read some other script, some more set of scriptures today. So I want us to get this point. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. We're going to read a couple of scriptures. Again, talking about our responsibility. Before we get to the point where we can draw some conclusion today. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we talked about this last week, how Jesus told them to receive, to wait in Jerusalem and to receive of the Spirit, all right? To tarry and receive. We know that spirit, that receive, that reception is not just wait, all right? It's not a collection, all right? It's not when, you know, maybe when you order something from Amazon, all right? It's a Gucci bag. All right? And the delivery man comes to your house and he delivers to you. That's not what we're talking about here, because in that the responsibility is on him, on the delivery man, to bring it. All right, but think of it, you know, in another slant of it will be when you've placed an order, all right, and they kept it in post office for you. All right, now the responsibility will be on you, and they've given you a notification that your delivery or your order is here. All right, that responsibility will now be on you, all right, to go and receive, or not just receive, we call it receive, but it is actually taking what is yours. That is a you know, that's the richness of the Greek language and all. The reason we cannot do without it, it helps us to save, because those two words, they are receive, but the nuances, the one is the response, the active participant, thank you, all right, is on the other person. All right, God gave us the indwelling, that is on God, but this receiving here, if you look at that word there, it's lambano. We are the one that will do something. We are the one that will put it on mind. All right. So take it, will be there. It will be there forever. All right. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, it may be there forever. All right. Without us doing anything about it. But that is why we are teaching ourselves now that, hey, I've got a responsibility. All right. To latch on the Spirit of God. And I tell you, friends, if we are going to fight and win, all right, we need to know this, because it is with the Spirit that we fight. It is with the Spirit that we achieve. Otherwise, you want to use mental calculation? Oh, we'll be defeated. If it's okay, 2 plus 2, let's do, okay. No, without the power of God and the Spirit of God that He gave us, that we should readily take off, we will be defeated. Hallelujah. All right? So, He says, but you shall, for the longest part of my Christian life, all right, but I've been born again for some minutes, actually. Praise God. For the longest part, I'd always thought that I will receive. Holy Spirit, come. We'll receive. No. All right. The day you believe, you believed in Jesus, that happened. But now it's on us. All right. So if I have friends here that, you know, we don't speak in tongues yet, there's nothing we are waiting for, to be honest with you. All right. Just go ahead and start. You think, am I forming it? Well, you are taking it. You are lambanoing, quote unquote. You are receiving, all right, of the Holy Spirit, okay? And so it says, but you shall receive, all right, putting the responsibility on us when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, all right, and you shall be, can you see the point now? To be his witness, to do something, we must, all right, take off the Spirit of God, receive of the Spirit of God. I want to point us to some other part of the scripture. You will get to know, all right, in this couple of scriptures we're going to read, that everywhere we were given instructions about the Spirit, all right, it puts the responsibility on the recipient. All right, so the Holy Spirit, God had poured out His Spirit. He did it once and for all. Okay, He made it available. But now we're going to read some 1, 2, 3 couple of scriptures. You will see that the responsibility is on us, and I will make some comments as I move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12 31. As we get there, please let me whisper to someone else again. Being filled by the Spirit of God is my responsibility. And it is yours as well. Look at it. So when we read things like this, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Of course, this gift here will be the gifts of the Spirit. In this context, it was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. All right? Now, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Talking about in the next chapter about love and all of those. Okay? But then we come back to that and clarify what it means. But whose responsibility is that first part? Me. He says, you desire. And look at that desire. It's not just a casual desire. Not just, well, if I... Something that is earnest. You go after it. You, in fact, the way that lambano is like when a bulldog, all right, what's that word? You know, grab his prey or a lion and he's not ready to let go. That's the cata lambano, all right? But so this lambano is, you will lay hold of it. To lay hold. You earnestly desire it. Alright? So it is our responsibility. Let's read some more. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. I mean, we're just reading every instruction that Paul gave about the things of the Spirit. Alright? Which will make it easier for us to quickly clarify some bit that I'll talk about later on. Alright? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. When it says pursue love, desire. Again, can you see? So that pursue, who is supposed to pursue? I will pursue. Who is supposed to desire? I will desire. All right? In fact, the way KJV, you know, puts it is you covet. Like you are jealously looking for it. You want it. All right? Now, look at it. I did that across all of his letters. He sent that to every church that he wrote to. About the things of the Spirit, you covet it, you desire, you use different words, but putting the responsibility on the believer. Let's see some more because of our time. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians, then the next one we're going to read, just giving us some heads up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. But let's read Galatians 5, 16. Look at it. I say then, walk in the Spirit. All right? So what does it mean to walk? Is that a conscious effort? All right? I mean, you we stand there, all right? But it says you walk. So walk there is an idiom that means do some exercise. Thank you. Do something. Hallelujah. I feel like, you know, do something about the things of the Spirit. Don't just leave it there, all right? That, no. We are not incapacitated when it comes to the things of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, all right? If you read on, you know, that's not the focus today, all right? You will get to know that it's God's fruits. Walking in the Spirit as God's fruit. That's why we say it is obvious. We know. It is obvious. Hallelujah. Please, you know, help me find another person. Don't be a believer who doesn't walk in the Spirit. Thank you for helping me. The idea is for us to walk in the Spirit. You get the point, okay? He said, walk in the Spirit, all right? And see the way he says, see, he says, and you will not, I says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it means, so it means that to actually overcome the flesh, we must be filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, it's going to be struggle, you know, all right? To overcome, all right, the flesh, we must walk in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. I'm just trying to bring it to us today, all right, that the responsibility is on us. The responsibility, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, is on us to walk in the Spirit. Look at this. Straightforward. Please, can we read this together? One, two, go. Do not quit. I mean, you've seen different letters, all right? I didn't cover everything because of time. But when it comes to the Spirit, walk in it, covet it, desire it, want it, take of it, receive of it, all right? So it already tells us, you know, it says don't quench the Spirit. What does it mean, quench? Something that is active. All right, to quench a fire, the fire must be burning. You don't quench a dead fire. All right, The fire is burning. So it means the Spirit of God is there, indwelling in every believer. All right? Don't bring fire extinguish hereby. Well, it's not just for me. Don't quench the Spirit. Hallelujah. All right? Don't quench the Spirit. Clear instruction. All right? It's on us. Hallelujah. But then, let me just throw something in, just to make us think. But I thought they said, it is at the Spirit's will. It's not at the Spirit's will. All right? We've clarified that. All right, that is as you will. I don't want to go into get it. All right, just to buttress that point. All right, that we have the gift of the Spirit as the Spirit will. So it means, Danian, he's looking good today. Let me give him words of knowledge and all. that's not the point. It is as we will, as the Spirit will. All right, as He will. As He will. That He there is the believer. All right? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, 8, thereabout, or verse 9. All right? So you say, it gives all these, thus, let's read that quickly. Now that I'm there, let me just read that quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's do verse 8 or 9. Okay, keep going. 11, thank you. Go to 11, thank you. Is it all of this? Yeah. Again. So people that say that, let's just use versions. You see, some versions don't necessarily get it well. All right? But look at it. But one and the same, distributing to each one individually. Well, he gets it as he will. But then the way you will know is, people say, this E is capital, and so is the Spirit of God that wills. No, it's not. I don't want to get into that debate. All right? This He here. It is you. It is me. It is as I will. It's not as the Spirit will. You've seen every other places in the Scripture puts the responsibility of the things of the Spirit on the believer. All right? So it's not as the Spirit will that today, if He likes, He gives me tongues. He moves me to speak in tongues. Not necessarily. I'm the one that will put that upon myself, and I will pray in tongues as well. Let's quickly read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. We're just still bringing ourselves to the fact that being filled with the Spirit, all right, being filled with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, all right, putting it upon ourselves is our responsibility. It's not the Spirit's responsibility. As He will, as I will, as you will, all right, such are the instructions that we have. Look at another one again. Look at this other instruction. Again, write it in another letter. Now, I've skipped what it said in 1 Timothy, all right, because of our time, but look at this, because this one is very important. Therefore, I remind you to stir up. Who will do the stirring up? The believer. Can we agree on all of these points? All right? We've seen so many, and there are more because of our time that we are not looking at today. So, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift. What's this gift of God? The Spirit of God that is in us. All right? You will stir it up. You will, and other versions, you call it fan it to flame. All right? If you are fanning something to flame, it means there's still a fire there. The fire is just burning low, but you can blow it and make it big. You stir it up, all right? Which is in you through the laying on of hands, all right? Now, look at the context in which he said that. He said, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. To deal with the spirit of fear, what do? We fire up the Spirit of God within us. To get boldness, all right, in every circumstance, all right, you want to just fire up yourself, stir up the gift of God within you. Let boldness arise. He said, but God has not given us the spirit of fear. That Holy Spirit within us is not a spirit of fear, but of power, but of love, and of a sound mind. All right, but I tell you, it may just be there, but it never goes out. All right, the reason we can fan it to flame, the reason we can blow it up, and it puts the responsibility on the believer. Hallelujah. Okay, so I need to run now. All right, so it brings about boldness. So let's just take note of this. I wrote something here that I want to just read out. So therefore, desire, consciousness and yielding are the key ingredients when it comes to being filled with the Spirit. Desire, yielding, meaning you desire it, but don't just desire with just lip services or just word of mouth, but you yield yourself. In yielding yourself, you yield your will that today I will pray. Today I will do something. All right? You yield, you commit that time to it. Okay? You yield and you are conscious. Conscious means don't let anything take it away from you. All right? There's this new word they call it gaslighting. All right? When the devil tries to make you feel bad, whereas it's the one that is bad. You've come to church. You went to church. It's the one that is wrong. You should be in church. Something like that. All right? All right? You've done the right thing. And he wants to just play on you too. All right? Yeah? So, but you don't allow that because you are conscious. You know the truth. You carry that presence of God everywhere. Everywhere in the office, at home, in the gym, on the streets, in the market, everywhere you go. Everything. It's not just for church alone. Hallelujah. All right? I'll take that again. Desire, yielding, so you desire it. All right? Don't just push it away that, well, I don't want. No. So as we are talking, I want us to be thinking, okay, what am I going to do differently this week? All right? What time am I going to separate this week? All right? To fellowship. All right? To yield myself. All right? Because it is my responsibility to be filled with the Spirit. All right? Now, spiritual things respond to hunger and desire. Spiritual things, being filled by the Spirit, all right, responds to hunger and desire. All right? It positions us to receive and flow in them even more and more. I'm running now. When it comes, when we become conscious of the things of the Spirit, we pray more, we speak in tongues more, we attend meetings more, we gather with other believers more, and we flow more easily in the things of the Spirit. I'll tell you that again. When we become conscious, like we are trying to bring it to our awareness and our consciousness today about the things of the Spirit, that it is my responsibility, I need to desire it, I need to yield myself, I need to be conscious of it. What is the result of that? You pray more. It drives you to pray more, all right? It drives you to speak more in tongues, and it drives you to flow more easily in the things of the Spirit. I tell you, friends, all right, that I have been given words of wisdom, words of knowledge way before I understood it. I'll say that again. I've been, many times when I was, Tony asked a question during our believer circle the last time. All right, he said, "Well, what about our parents who did not know about worship? All right, does it mean that their worship aren't accepted?" I said, "No, it's accepted. They may not know about it. Just like we've been eating carbohydrates before, we were taught yam is carbohydrate. It's there. We know that when I eat yam, I am able to make more farm. All right, but what knowledge does is it helps us to put it in place. All right, so." I've been doing, now I've gone that route to let us know that many of these things you've been doing it before. We just don't know. All right? For us to make it repeatable, consistent, to achieve consistent, repeatable results, that is why we are teaching and doing all of this. Amen. Praise God. All right. So, there's just one more scripture I want us to read as we wrap up today. Just one last one. Because this is, we continue from there next week. Luke chapter 1 verse 41 and 42. Luke chapter 1 verse 41 and 42. We're talking about being conscious, being desirous of it. Hallelujah. Are we together now? 41 and yeah, thank you. Praise God. Now look at this story. Let's read this story as we wrap up. And it happened when Elizabeth had the greeting of Mary. All right? That the babe lived in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what has happened here is that the angel had appeared to Elizabeth and what's the man's name now? Zechariah, thank you. All right, that prophet, now that they will have a baby and it's going to be John and all. All right, then Mary too, now at this point, is now carrying our Lord Jesus Christ. Then she will now go to meet her cousin. All right, I don't know, you know, they are related somehow, Elizabeth. All right, and as soon as they met, Bible says Elizabeth being filled with the Spirit. We now know that being filled with the Spirit is Elizabeth's responsibility. All right, so he must have been praying, he must have been saying something. All right, and see what he said. He spoke. Now, what I want to bring out here, he spoke with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." He knew immediately because he was filled with the Spirit. You should have people like that. That when you come together, you guys can get, quote and unquote, spirit drunk together. You can get direction. You can get confidence. You can get courage. You can get boldness together. All right? You have believers like that. And I want us to please practice that among ourselves. So that it's not just work, finance, busy, family. Now, talk about all of those. But talk about the things of the Spirit as well. Be filled with the Spirit. And with that, now look at the direction. We can't read everything, all right? Because it will now bring so many revelations that we are now reading today. There's a revelation that we need from you. And it will come by you being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, because we all can. The Bible says when we come together. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, when you come together, it says we have this thing. We have it. Hallelujah. We're going to talk more on this next week. All right, so it is our responsibility now. How do we do? I couldn't get to how today. All right, we're now going to look at how next week. All right, the how, simply before we see the reference, is that we now need to pray more. Pray extensively in the Holy Ghost. All right, don't just keep quiet when things are about. Don't even wait for things to happen. Make it a responsibility, a habit, a culture, a part of your life, a desire, a yielding, a consciousness to speak in the Holy Ghost every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? All right, because when you are filled with the Spirit, we will know. You will bring us the revelation. When last did someone had come, "Oh, Tolu, this is what I saw when I was praying." All right, all of those things, they come from is an influence of the Spirit. We want that. All right, pastor or sis, all right, those things, they should happen freely in our midst. And it is ministry. You know, when you do that, you are ministering to that person. When he does that, he's ministering to you. All right, and we can, through that, save ourselves from trouble, from dangers. We can see 5 years ahead. We can see how things will turn out. We can know what the devil is planning and just escape by being filled by the Spirit of God. All right, we can know what God is doing right now, so that we are not caught unawares, so that we are not thinking, "Oh, it's taking too long." We know when God will do it, and we are patiently pursuing it. We can know the mind of God by being filled by the Spirit of God. Can we just give God praise today? My life is a Spirit-filled life. I live a Spirit-filled life. I don't second guess. I don't go through life doing try and error. You know, will this one work? No, I know. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, there are no errors on my way because I'm filled with the Spirit. I know to bring what is within me, to bring it upon my life, upon my head. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.